Welcome to the Command Line Podcast for June 28th, 2015. I'm your host, Thomas Command Line Gideon, a self-proclaimed hacker, eccentric, and hacktivist. This is my show about the practice and profession of programming, drawing on well over a decade of professional experience and a lifetime spent hacking, the intersection of technology with society and public policy, and anything else clever, elegant, or funny that catches my mind as a diehard technology geek. This time out, an extemporaneous discussion of my electric toothbrush. Actually, it's not as glib as it seems. It's just an excuse to get into talking about some recent experiences of different kinds of technology and how they refine and evolve over time, and a bit of a prod, an open-ended question about, are there certain distinct classes of technology when it comes to sort of the refinement curve of them as products. Before I get into that, though, I do want to encourage folks to reach out. I have heard informally and secondhand in response to the last feature in the last episode, generally some positive sentiment, but if you have things that you want to add to this conversation of hopefully a more frank discussion through vulnerability of the effect and presence of mental health, mental illness in the world of technology, or even more broadly, I would welcome that. And something that didn't occur to me sooner that I think might make that easier for some folks is if you prefer for me not to share word for word, if you want to share on a more personal level, make clear the sentiments or aspects that you're willing for me to share with everybody else in order to advance the discussion. I'm happy to do that. I don't mind sharing feedback anonymously. I don't mind summarizing feedback. I've done that in the past for folks that are, for whatever reason, are not as comfortable having their name associated with something or having me share verbatim things that they send to me as more of a personal or private correspondence. Also, I'm hopefully going to delve into streamlining the podcast production over the next little bit to try to make it a little bit easier still to get on the mic and share. And this is informed by a new podcast project that I've started. The third episode, as you're listening to this, should be available if you're interested. And it's the audio diary of a peculiar character. If you followed any of my other podcast endeavors, or you follow any of my other writing outside of the command line at a variety of different project sites, mostly in series sequential, that have now settled into a site called Of a Peculiar Character, that's peculiarcharacter.com. In putting that together and keeping myself constrained to doing 5 minutes a week and trying to stick to putting out an episode a week, I've come up with some nice techniques to streamline that, to make it a bit easier, in particular on the audio production side, to be able to just sit down, do 5 minutes, and then package that all up and get that posted. So I'm hoping to port some of those ideas over. In the meantime, if you do want to hear from me on a more regular basis, then this is your invitation as well to check out that other podcast project. Again, go to peculiarcharacter.com. The feeds are right there on the front page. And also, I've managed to get it into iTunes if you happen to use that. I have my last toothbrush longer than my older teen son is alive. This was an electric toothbrush. I got it when the current wave of those came out, the Sonicare versus the Braun Oral-B. I'd had an electric shaver when I myself was a teenager, a Braun, and I really liked the industrial design, even though I didn't stick with an electric shaver, mostly because the shave head didn't wear well. And it never really seemed to get as close as I would have liked with a lower level of irritation. So I've pretty much been using a stick razor, a safety razor, since. But that design stuck with me. So when those two competing brands came out, and they're still out there, and they're still competing in a lot of the same ways, just for that reason, more than any other, that's the electric toothbrush that I got. And I wanted one because I guess because I enjoy technology, and I thought that that would be more effective. And my dentist seemed to agree. I get complimented when I do go into the dentist for being fairly fastidious. And even though I don't floss as regularly as I should, the dentist seems to think I do, which I think says something about the mechanical advantage of an electric toothbrush of this style. So why on earth am I talking to you about my toothbrush? Well, I recently replaced it, and in doing so, I realized something. The new toothbrush is the same brand. I don't remember if the price point was the same, but probably comparable. And right out of the box, I noticed that it was actually better than my old one. And granted, my old one lasted the better part of 2 decades before, ultimately, I think it was just the battery. The battery would no longer hold a charge. But the motor, by comparison, in the new one, same size handle, same ergonomic design, seems to be far more effective, just seems to be more powerful, but not to the point where it would actually rip apart my gums up to the level that you want. And for a similar price point, offers more features. So my old one really only had the wireless charging, and in the case of an electric toothbrush, if you're not familiar, that's really a concession to make them safe in an environment around a faucet, around a water fixture, rather than like the wireless charging on your phone, so that there's nothing exposed that could cause electrical damage or a problem. So that's not something I would actually consider to be a feature per se, but the timer certainly is. And the timer in the new one actually times not just the overall 2 minutes that's recommended you're supposed to brush, but it actually nudges you along so that you're supposed to, at each interval when the timer goes off and it's a little piezo that goes off, you're supposed to move to a different quadrant of your mouth. Now, I think that's pretty cool that they build in that kind of smarts. It's pretty simple, but it's still smart. Add to that a variety of different cleaning modes that interact with the timer to adjust it proportionally for a lighter touch or a heavier touch. And in addition, a pressure sensor. One of the conversations I had with my dentist when I first got that first electric toothbrush years and years and years ago was to take care that the mechanical advantage of the brush was more than enough, and counterintuitively, you needed to use a lighter touch with these versus a manual toothbrush. Now, my point is in the space of the better part of 2 decades, that product at the same price point improved appreciably. Like, I notice it, I've had it for several weeks now, and I still appreciate every single morning how much better the quality of the toothbrush is, the effectiveness of using it. And it got me wondering what other kinds of technologies in my life have a similar sort of evolutionary curve to them, and what ones don't, and what is sort of the key differentiator between those. Several months ago, I talked about my new car, appropriately enough, recording that episode, or the bulk of it, in said vehicle. And that's definitely another thing that I remarked at the time, I believe, that I really appreciated after 13 years, all of the things that had improved. Now, there are some risks when you're talking about something as complicated as a car, and that the experience with the new model is much more a drive-by-wire sort of situation, which, you know, is both a good thing and a bad thing. And the risks come in terms of, you know, an old non-power steering direct drive vehicle. You probably have a greater sense of what's going on, what the failure modes are, and more direct control in the presence of a failure mode, legitimate or just accidental. You think about all the vehicle recalls that have come out over the years, and all of the systems that could be subject now, that much more than even 13 years ago, could be subject to a recall that might present some sort of a safety issue. Setting aside the risks and safety issues, though, really the emphasis here is that the vehicle and all of the finishing touches are, again, for a similar price point, offer so much more in terms of the experience and the quality. And I think in considering these two examples, that might suggest the first dimension of why some products are like this. Maybe things that don't have essentially like a fixed core feature or set of features. So a car is something that gets you from point A to point B. The control interface has been fixed for generations. Just about every other thing about it, really, if you strip it down, you could put a box on 4 wheels with a steering wheel and a couple of control levers, and everybody's going to recognize that that's meant to be a shorthand for a car. And so it goes for a toothbrush, electric or otherwise. The number of things that can be designed and tinkered around with are small. Most of the truly interesting and valuable changes have already happened much, much earlier in the overall lifespan of these respective everyday items. All right, so what kinds of technologies do I have in my life that I haven't been able to hang on to for 10, 15, 20 years, and don't seem to have that same sort of core stability in terms of what it is that technology does for me that leads to that same sort of value curve over time? And the obvious thing, I think, right off the start is the most common form of computer that we have on us are smartphones. I just had the speaker on my Nexus 5 conk out on me a couple of weeks ago. It took me a little while to realize that actually what it was. I went through almost all of the usual sort of troubleshooting things in terms of rebooting and toggling settings and everything, but actually doing a factory reset, because everything else that I tried led me to believe that it was a hardware fault. And granted, I have my smartphone on me all the time. I have it on the dash of my car during my commute. So that's an hour of each day where it's exposed to direct sunlight. And I started to realize maybe that's why the speaker broke on it, is that it just wore out because of that environmental exposure. So I've been trying to be a little kinder to it, setting the windshield vents on, especially in the morning, to try to keep it a little cooler. Not, I don't know, maybe it'll keep some other component from failing, but I have not had this device a year, maybe over a half a year. And it's at a point where, I probably could go onto the iFixit database, figure out how to crack it open. I've talked to some listeners and readers about doing that were, kind of iffy. You know, it certainly seems doable, but is it worth the effort versus getting a new one? Probably not. And when I do get a new smartphone, and I think this is like my fourth or fifth one in the last handful of years, I definitely don't have that same sort of sense of value when I get the new one. It seems a much more incremental rather than something where the improvements are proportional to the time between purchases. And, maybe to be fair, to be charitable, it's because these devices, if we compare them to the other examples that I've been talking about, electric toothbrushes and cars, things that have a relatively stable set of features and value add, maybe it's because we're not at that point where that's the case, where it's clear what a smartphone is and should be, is so well stabilized that you get the kind of refinement that you do year after year. Maybe especially in the case of the automobile, those early years were fairly frustrating, that you did need to get a new one much more frequently, that things did swing and change fairly radically before the kind of standard control scheme that we're used to settled in and became sort of self-evident, or self-evident as we take it now. Maybe I can see that a little less for an electric toothbrush because it's a simpler contrivance than a smartphone or an internal combustion engine powered vehicular transit device. But something about smartphones, something about personal computers before them, makes me want to say, rightly or wrongly, that I don't think it has to do with where we are in the adoption curve. I think the fact that the core functionality of these devices is by design fluid means that we don't know from year to year the ways people are going to use things to be able to sort of stabilize some of the affordances and conveniences and then get into that much more sustained refinement mode that we get into, I think, with some of the other examples that I mentioned. I think that if you take a moment to consider sort of the driving killer applications that people have been talking about over even the last 3 years, they've shifted considerably and they continue to shift as people take advantage of the fact that general purpose computers are infinitely mutable to come up with things that we didn't anticipate. It's not the kind of thing where in a vehicle, I maybe with the addition of an entertainment system, that's a little bit surprising. But in terms of what a car does in and of itself, that's relatively fixed, as I've pointed out. But a cell phone, I mean, you can use it for multimedia messaging. You can use it for other kinds of communication. You can use it for gaming. You can use it to build up ad hoc bottom-up communications networks and meshes. You can use it to capture and share live media, so Periscope and Meerkat, things of that nature, especially as the networks tend to evolve as they're increasingly software defined along with them, making the capacities and resources available to devices also as fluid, and the sort of choke points shifting around in that case. Maybe that it's never going to get to be the case where I have a smartphone for 5 or 7 years and I get it and I'm talking about it in the same vein as my toothbrush. My gut has me leaning towards the latter interpretation. I think because the personal computer has actually been around for several decades, and the smartphone's not all that different. A reconfiguration to combine everything into a single device instead of a separate input and output. Touch screens are fairly innovative, but we're using those in ways that are fairly compatible with what we've been used to in using a mouse and a keyboard. We use virtual keyboards. And I know that people have pointed at other sort of industrial devices and innovations and said that, you know, even 30, 40 years of the personal computer is pretty early on compared to other kinds of devices that we're used to. But it still seems like we should be, if it was the kind of device that an electric toothbrush and a car is, it seems like we would be in that steady refinement cycle. So I don't know. I'm kind of curious what you think now that I pose this question, or at least this contrast of two very different experiences of different kinds of technology, what you all think about that. And as always, I'd welcome hearing your thoughts. You can send those to feedback@thecommandline.net, where I'm happy to share them with everybody else. That's going to do it for this episode. As always, I want to thank you. And if you enjoy the program, please do tell a friend. If you have a question, suggestion, or question, you can send those to feedback@thecommandline.net, or I welcome you to record a bit of audio on your portable smart device and send that along as well. The next episode, I'm thinking, is going to get back into some professional topics. So either an essay on more than programming, or a reflection on the state of programming as it's evolved over the 2.5-3 years where I was kind of out of programming and returning back to it full time. So either way, until then, don't forget to hack your world. I would like to thank the Internet Archive for media hosting and bandwidth. The views expressed on this program are my own, and where applicable, those of my guests, and in no way reflect those of my employer or anyone else. This show is produced from 100% recycled bits. Except where noted, permission to recycle those further is granted under the Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 United States license. That means you're free to change this show as much as you like, as long as you don't alter credits and you share your changes under the same license.